Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And my name's Matt Noble.
And it's great to be back in Australia. I've just been spending a little bit of time in California, back home, and it's like nothing's changed.
Yes, that's exactly right, Jonathan. We're back in Podcast HQ in Sydney. We've dusted it off. And, yeah, it's exciting to be back in the same room podcasting. I was in the States a bit last year, and we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of our challenges and all sorts of exciting things. We got so distracted, though, at, like, Santa Monica Pier and everything, we forgot to do a podcast together. And we ended up doing one while I was in New York and while you were in LA, which was probably our worst sound quality podcast of all time. So it's very nice to be podcasting with you again in the same room, even though I've been in the same room as you in, like, a shorter time since our last podcast.
It's like nothing's changed. Screen Verdict interns have kept Podcast HQ in reasonable condition. I'm going to have a little bit of a word to them later, but yeah, it's good to be back doing a podcast. And we're going to be hitting up a TV series, a drama series, so we're excited to bust out the old non-spoiler spoiler structure. We're going to be reviewing Netflix's Bloodlines. Close.
Oh, it's cool.
Netflix's Bloodline.
Okay, just Bloodline. So it's just one bloodline in the show.
Yeah, there's only one family. No other families feature in the show.
That's pretty accurate, actually. So, okay, it's a show. It's a Netflix show. That had me somewhat excited. House of Cards is all right. And
House of Cards, Arrested Development. Mm. Say, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, it seems like a little bit of a novelty at first, but now they're sort of building up enough of a catalogue to be like, you got your Netflix shows and your HBO shows and
your AMC shows. Mm. What about Kyle Chandler? He's the main guy in it, sort of.
He's the guy on the poster.
Yeah. I loved him in Friday Night Lights. He was very good in that. Won an Emmy, and I wasn't too upset when he won it. So he's fantastic. Like, he's a great actor.
Yeah, I didn't catch up with Friday Night Lights until after it had finished, but of course, through Netflix, binge-watched, absolutely love Friday Night Lights, and Kyle Chandler. Yeah, Coach Taylor, very iconic, very interested to see him in, we've seen him in a couple of movie roles, but interested to see him in a Netflix series.
He's got a very good look of shock. Whenever he's shocked by something, he's always like got his mouth a little bit open, the eyebrows up, like he looks genuinely shocked whenever he's shocked.
That's just how good an actor is. Even though he's read it in the script,
yes,
he's still seen shocked.
It's a not over the top shot look. It's a very like he's not Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone shocked. He's just a very good look of shock. I'd say actually in some ways, like to a like more dramatic degree, a bit like Jason Bateman always had a good shock look too in Arrested Development when something was happening. Like just a bit of a like mouth a little bit open, like what is happening around me? Like so yeah.
In a way he is kind of the straight man. Not so much in a sitcom kind of sense, but and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the spoiler section, but he's joined by Ben Mendelsohn.
Mm.
Australian actor.
We quite like Ben Mendelsohn. I remember he was our favourite thing about You Only Die Softly or Killing Them Softly.
Killing Them Softly, yes. Animal Kingdom. He's doing pretty well for himself. And unfortunately, he doesn't play in Australian. Don't get that little taste of home with the
Yeah,
g'day, mate. How's it going?
Well, that wouldn't make sense with the bloodline. He's in he's in the American bloodline.
Would have had to ship him off pretty young.
I guess. People can get sent off to Australian boarding school.
Lazy writers didn't want to have to figure that out. It's easier to make Mendelsohn do the accent. Mm.
Get him a course.
And so I guess he's sort of the misfit brother, the one that comes back to town. And so I guess we'll get into a little bit of the premise, seems where we're at. So we're in the Florida Keys. It's kind of tropical. It's Very nice. Blue waters, white sands, and the family.
Boats.
Oh, yeah, plenty of boats.
Boats. Boats.
Gotta have a boat in the Keys. The family owns a B&B, so it's obviously a great place to holiday too, and people come and visit. And Kyle Chandler, is he the sheriff?
I'll be honest, I had no idea what the family did. Like, this is news to me that they're running a B&B. they don't have, like, guests each week. Well, like, do you reckon that'd be fun if there was a new, like, celebrity guest each week at the B&B?
Matt, to explain what a B&B is, it's kind of like an Airbnb, except you're there all the time.
Yeah, like a bread and breakfast. So I know what a B&B is.
Well, these, you know, young people these days.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, that was for the listeners, not for me.
So they run this B&B, and Kyle Chandler, he's a detective. He's a policeman of some sorts.
Yeah, yeah, he works at the police station, he drives around, he arrests people every now and then. Yes.
And their brother Danny, Ben Mendelsohn, he's been off sort of doing his own thing. It's a bit of a mystery, he's a bit unreliable, and he comes back to town, and basically things about his life start to unfold. Things with the family go back and forth, and some mysteries and adventures develop.
Yeah, it seems to me like this family, they're running their B&B, they're doing things, policing, like, things seem like they're doing okay, and then this brother comes in, and he stirs up a whole lot of drama. Like, he sort of causes a whole lot of trouble. It's sort of like he's the straw that stirs the drink. All of a sudden, like, you know, I remember the first episode or the second episode is of some wedding or something, or it was a renewal of vows. What is this?
Dedication, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. Some event, and he gets up and has to give a speech, and, you know, the
everyone's like,
the brother's like, let him up there, he's my drop kick. Like, why does he want to bring his girlfriend to sit at our table?
What? I love, there's three brothers and a sister.
Yeah.
And the other brother, I love it, just because everything makes him so mad.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that he's not the renegade.
Yeah.
He's not the mystery, because everything just sends him flying off the handle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here's the thing. Like, the first, like, episode, I'm sort of like, oh, this douchey brother's rocked up. This guy's obviously been upset. We all hate it when there's someone that really annoys you and probably has done all these awful things to you, but you can't. Like, you feel very out of control of the situation. So I sort of bought the anger and thought, okay, you can be angry. But then, like, the whole rest of the season, he's, like, as loose a cannon as the brother he's upset with. And, like, he's doing, like, equally reckless things when his brother has nothing to do with the situation. So I was sort of like, oh, it's a bit like the pot calling the kettle black. Sort of this brother all of a sudden, like, you know, he's never had his life together. He always ruins everything. And he's, like, just causing all sorts of drama himself. Like,
so this guy, so it's a pretty interesting family dynamic. I guess the show starts with some flashbacks of sorts, some narration. We're not bad people, but we did a bad thing.
And you go, ooh, okay.
I wonder what the bad thing was.
And they show you in, like, episode 3 or something, don't they? Like, a flash forward to what it is?
I think it might be the end of episode 1.
Oh, it could have been.
For the, well, for people that have watched the show, you can correct it. For the people that haven't, something to look forward to.
Mm.
I was a little bit unsure about this. I'm like, oh, narration. Is this going to be like Dexter all over again? Because it's very hard narration to do that well. It quite often seems a bit on the nose. The flashbacks and things, well, I guess this is a good time to bring up. This show is made by the creators of Damages.
Yeah.
I think Damages is probably one of the most underrated dramas of recent times.
That first season was an incredible season of television.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, one of the best seasons of TV we've seen in the past 10 years. And I think all subsequent seasons were very good too. Like, not quite, they were a bit, every other season was living in the shadow of that first one a bit. Like, they never were quite able to reach that quality. But that first season was so good. And all the rest were pretty good. It's not like they had this huge, like, there was a rubbish season. Maybe one of them was a little weaker than the others.
I thought they were all, yeah, I mean, it sounds, to say the first one the best kind of sounds a bit disappointing, but just simplify, I'd probably say maybe the first one's a 9, and then all the rest are an 8. Like, they're, all the seasons are really good. So I was expecting...
I was actually really excited to see them and Kyle Chandler teaming up, actually. Like, now I'd forgotten those guys were behind it.
So with the flashbacks and things, I wasn't sure at first because I'm not always a fan of that technique, but I think they did it pretty well in Damages. So I was prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think we've got a couple things to play here. Firstly, the narration, I feel like, wasn't done enough for me to buy into it as a tone, like, dictating the tone of the show, but it was done like, yeah, like
they used it at the start, but then it wasn't really that prominent throughout the series, so it was kind of like they kind of went halfway. It's like either have it as part of a show or did you even need it at all?
Yeah, that's sort of how I felt like maybe you could get away with if the like season opened and closed on narration. Like if you, I feel like they even needed to use it a bit less or a bit more. Like,
I can't really complain about listening to Kyle Chandler talk, though.
No, he's a good talker. He's a very comforting voice.
Of all the characters on the show, probably the best one to narrate it.
Yeah. Ben Mendelsohn would have been all right. Oh, sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry, that's the phone.
Taylor Swift is calling.
It's my mum. I won't put her on speaker. Hello. I've whacked it in the dryer. Okay, so I hope that, like, works. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Me and Jonathan are recording a podcast, so...
I've never had this happen since we stopped editing our podcast.
What, sorry?
You got that call since we stopped editing our podcast. Yeah.
Though, to be fair... We usually left the call to
you
the edits anyway. So, anyway, there you go, just sorting out the washing situation. family drama on another level. Like, maybe an idea for season 2 of Bloodline.
You get rid of the Rayburns. Yeah. I want to hear about the nobles,
washing
situations.
Line versus dryer. So, what were we talking about? He's got the...
you said you wouldn't have minded if Ben Mendelsohn narrated either.
No, I wouldn't have.
Maybe they could have done both. And we got both perspectives because the way Danny sees things and the way that Kyle Chandler sees things, very different.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ben Mendelsohn narration was... They did do a bad thing, and I think they're bad people. I think the bad thing they did was bad enough that we should stop, like, trying to excuse them for not being bad people. I just think that would be his take on the bad, not bad people doing a bad thing. I think with the... I don't know, it's interesting to show us what that bad thing was. And didn't show us exactly what it was and who's involved in all the elements, because it was obviously then a sort of how are we getting to this point? Like, you know where we're heading. And that sort of works a bit. But boy, if I hadn't known that was coming, I would have been so surprised when it happened.
Yeah, I think because it showed you one thing, but I guess, you know, watching so many of these TV shows, I've learned to be skeptical. Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing?
Yeah, I did think about halfway through the season, maybe that was just a dream or a...
Because they played with that in Damages. But I think we got one or two dream sequences this season. You know, what tricks are up their sleeves, so... Yeah, I mean, it might have been more surprising if they just waited. But I think it was a good way to end the first episode. Because, to be honest, first episode, and we'll get into my feelings on the whole season in the spoiler section, but in the first episode, you know, setting things up, not bad acting, it looks all right, but nothing interesting happened, and then, whoa, ending. Okay, I'm definitely watching episode 2 now. So maybe not a bad ploy.
Okay.
So we have any other general comments on the season before we cross over into our spoiler section?
I think Coach Taylor had better sunglasses than his character in this. This guy's sunglasses are a bit big.
Too big.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just a thing that while watching.
It's pretty sunny in the Keys. Yeah, maybe it's proportional.
Oh, okay. So it's more practical than aesthetic.
It's sort of the sombrero of sunglasses.
Yep. Sissy Spacek's in it.
Mm.
She's an actress. She's pretty famous. Doesn't really do much, though.
Not bad. I don't think I've seen her since Badlands.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a jump.
Yeah.
From Badlands to Bloodline.
They're getting the whole Badlands cast on Netflix. Martin Sheen's just started Grace and Frankie.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, no, I think that's it. Should we talk about spoilers now so we can get really stuck into the things that how we can talk about that really bad thing?
Do we do our verdict?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yep, let's do not that bad thing, our verdict.
So, verdict, I think that interesting start, a lot of things that I like, good actors and writers and things, I'm intrigued. I'm sort of going with it. First few episodes, a bit boring. Not really that much happens. It's just family stuff. Things start to change a little bit halfway through the season. Then they get interesting. I think Danny really takes over. As great as Kyle Chandler is, Ben Mendelsohn's character is really what drives the story. And I was really intrigued from about episode 6 or 7 onwards. And then, episode 12 or 13 takes a bit of a turn. Not a bad ending, but not a mind-blowing ending. I'm really not sure where they're going to go with season 2. I'm a little bit worried about that, so it's a bit of a cryptic screen verdict for you there. I'm going to give Bloodline a 7 out of 10.
Okay. I found Bloodlines pretty boring. I was not that invested. It was not that interesting. Yeah, it's just boring. Because it's just about these characters sort of having their own little family dramas and stuff. I didn't, find anything particularly engaging. The actors are all good. The actors are fine. I think here's a problem I've got with all these TV shows just about, rich people. I just feel a bit, and I know I'm, to some degree rich, a lot of worlds there, but just
Yeah, Matt was setting dollar bills on fire early. It's a little bit chilly. Winter's coming. I might just warm myself up.
But I just think, it's sort of, brothers and sisters and modern family and, it's just all these rich people with rich people problems, their perfect worlds aren't perfect enough and just creating drama where there doesn't need to be as much. I know there is a few bit drama that creeps into Bloodline. I'm not saying that, but I find it hard to, it's not very accessible. Whereas a show like The West Wing, maybe the people are rich. But there's a job they're all doing that you can, it's not really about them complaining about their lives, So I don't know. I guess I don't like shows about people complaining, especially when they're rich. So there you go. The last couple of episodes did get more exciting. Mm. I did like the last couple. There was some interesting stuff happening. I think maybe a bit too much groundwork laid. I don't think you'd probably need 9 episodes of groundwork to get to the interesting stuff. And the big interesting twist was telegraphed in the first episode. So it took a bit of the excitement away.
Mm.
It's still good. Anyway, I'll get a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. So a little bit mixed there. I will explain our opinions in more detail in our spoiler section.
Spoiler alert! Woo! Okay, we will now say spoiler.
Coming at you.
Yeah, they are coming at you.
He kills Danny! He kills his brother! He kills him!
Yeah, this is, if you hadn't been showing this in the first episode, would you have been complete? This seems
very out of character.
Very out of character.
Mm.
Which I don't hate. I'm like, oh, good, finally he's doing something. Yeah. Finally,
Yeah, I thought maybe So I guess in the first episode they're showing you the flashbacks, and you're thinking he's saving Danny, carrying him through the rain. And then he puts him on the boat and blows up the boat, and you're like, oh man, okay, what did Danny do? Danny must have done something so bad.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone in the family accidentally killed him, or killed him because in self-defense, or stopping Danny doing something bad. Mm. You know, there's no way Carl Chandler killed him. Mm. Carl Chandler's not going to kill Danny.
So what did Danny do to justify the killing when it's revealed?
That's a good question. Did Danny deserve to die?
Sell me on it.
Okay, I'm...
Yeah, you're Kyle.
I'm
Danny. Tell me on why killing me was a good thing to do.
Well, you are... it's your fault Dad's dead. You got into a fight with him when he was kayaking. And you hit him, and that's why he had the stroke. And he nearly died. No, that's true, but you can't prove it.
Even if that was true, it happened like 8 episodes ago. Why didn't you kill me then?
You're gonna get us all thrown in jail. You're running drugs through the family B&B.
Yeah. Like murdering me is probably gonna get you in jail too.
But it might save Mum.
Yeah.
And Mum won't have to go to jail. It will just be me.
Do they stop the drug investigation when I'm killed? Like, is that... Surely... I don't know.
We got him now.
Yeah, like...
Spinning on the dead.
Because usually drug deals aren't just one person. Like...
Yeah, Danny is buying, selling, consuming...
Surely a missing Danny...
Producing.
Surely a missing Danny opens, like, you know... Gets people asking more questions, not less, right? Like, so like dead, like dead.
We're going to need more men on this investigation.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
You mean, you're not nice. We thought you came back to be a part of the family, and now you're tricking me.
So, okay, this is why I asked you this, is because I felt like it was more an emotional... like murder rather than a sort of now this has to be done for the like good of the family. But I wasn't probably as focused or paying as much attention during Bloodlines as you were or Bloodline as you were, which is why I just wanted to check with you. There wasn't some thing that I hadn't picked up on as to why that had happened.
No, the relationship and the things that had gone on, I can imagine it boiling, bubbling to this emotional breaking point where Carl Chandler just wants to punch him in the face and just scrap on the beach. But I don't think he did anything that morally justified Danny being murdered. Danny didn't need to die.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
So I didn't think he would.
Like, in some ways, killing Danny will open up more problems than solve them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Which, obviously, in TV show, that always happens, the thing you do to... But, like, you could have easily foreseen that murdering him would open a bigger can of worms.
Yeah, because now they're going to be looking into where's Danny, which is going to be looking into the murder. It still doesn't really help cover up all the drug stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the drug people aren't going to be happy.
Mm. Does it bring the family together? Do they have something to bond over now? A shared common experience and... you know, sort of in covering this up together, they can become a closer family.
Well, people like to use the expression, and it applies to various things. They like doing the family that camps together stays together.
Yeah.
The family that cleans dishes stays together. Does the family that covers up murders stay together?
Or does it tear the family apart? Like, this could be the season two premise. Does, you know, but that's the only, I think, thing that it could solve, arguably, maybe the family... stays together. Like, Danny was causing issues with him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was getting a little concerned about Danny taking his daughter out on the boat.
That was a pretty tense scene. I thought that was pretty good.
I didn't know where that was going, to be honest, when Danny took him on the boat, and it's cutting to, like, Carl Chandler, like, rushing around on his boat, and I was going, oh, is he going to, like, turn a corner in his boat and see, I don't know, like, I didn't know where Danny was going with that thing with the door. It seemed such a creepy scene. Yeah. Like, I had no, like, I thought he could, is he going to kill her? Is he going to, like, try to kiss her? Like, what's, like, it just seems so bizarre.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And it was really just mind games from Danny.
Yeah.
Thinking that maybe he would drown his daughter in the way their sister drowned. Which I guess is sort of, like, going back in time. That's the catalyst for everything that happens on the show.
Mm.
The parents are fighting. The mum's thinking of leaving the dad. The daughter's there. She says, Danny, just go look after her. Just take her away. So he goes to take her on the boat. You know, everything around them is falling apart. And he says, I'm just going to take her on the boat. And, you know, we'll have some fun speeding around on the water.
Mm.
And then young Carl Chandler's like, no, don't do it. You're supposed to take an adult when you're going on the boat. So I think, you know, Danny's maybe, what, 12, 14, around that age, but he's like, nah, we're going on the boat.
And he's like, thanks, Coach Taylor. We're going to do our own thing.
So, unfortunately, her necklace falls into the water. She reaches for it, gets stuck. Oh, man. That'll just be one of the worst ways to die. Because, like, your hand gets stuck. What's the chance that my hand's going to get stuck reaching into this coral to get my necklace? And you know that you're going to die. You're, I'm going to drown. I can't get my hand out.
Should she have pulled a James Franco?
Yeah, I think
I'm obviously talking about cutting off her arm, but not doing a bad job of hosting the Oscars.
What do you think that movie did for Swiss Army Knife sales?
A good job, right? You saw the movie, right? Because he leaves the Swiss Army Knife at home, so he has to use the Dunn imitation brand one. I feel like you played a clip, put a few of the clips of the movie together, then just end up like, you know, if only he had his Swiss Army knife. Swiss Army knives.
Yeah, there was a little Swiss Army knife pocket in that swimsuit. Maybe she could have escaped.
Yeah, she didn't have a knife, I guess she could.
So as a result, the family blames Danny for her death. And not only that, but the dad beats on him. So this whole life, he's kind of seen as, you know, at best the black sheep, at worst the hated, evil son that's responsible for killing the youngest, prettiest, daughterest person in the family.
What does the other daughter think about this?
I love how Danny said to her, he's like, you'll never be her. I guess how are you supposed to live up to the? I think that's an episode of Extras. Don't date a widow or a widower.
Yeah,
it's like you'll never live up to the memory of the dead wife.
Hmm.
I guess that's why she has sort of an inferiority complex. It's why she tries to do so well with her lawyerness. She's always dating different guys because she needs approval because she never got approval from her parents because she could never live up to the dead daughter.
Hmm. Will this also apply to the relationship between movie watchers and subsequent actors who play the Joker in Batman series? The, you know, almost the idea of Heath Ledger as the Joker was even greater than the performance of Heath Ledger as the Joker, which was a very good performance as well. And,
Yeah, that's going to be tough. We'll see.
We'll see. Jared Leto is going to be the next Joker.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a bit of a wild man.
It's a very wild costume if you've seen. Have you seen the Jared Leto as the Joker pictures? I'll get it up while we're talking about something. Hey now.
So I guess coming back to Danny, because he's sort of the catalyst for the modern day, the present time storyline, he sort of starts out as kind of intriguing. It's sort of a question of, you know, is he hiding something really bad? What's he doing back? And then he kind of just turns into this. He's like a bad guy. He's just so annoying. He's so irritating. But as you learn why he's the way he is, you actually start to feel really sorry for him. So when he starts playing these mind games with the family, I actually found it grossly entertaining. I thought it was just a real ride to follow the mind games and schemes of Danny.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, like, it's really interesting. There's a sort of a weird scene of him in the house with Kyle Chandler's wife, and it just, like, seems really creepy, but I wasn't sure whether, like, they had really creepy music playing during it. I thought, like, if there wasn't that music playing, would it be as creepy as it was?
He just rode the line really well. You know, if you read, like, a transcript of what they would say, you wouldn't be able to call him out on any inappropriate behavior. But just that sly look in his eye, the way he was like, I might leave, I might not leave. You can't control me. Made her very on edge. It was a very tense, great scene.
Mm. Like, the amount of, like, that's another thing where I was like, how's this going to end? Like, what's he going to do here? Is he going to try to, like, kiss her? Like, is he going to, like, murder her? Like, he had a very creepy sort of, like, hey, I could do anything I wanted at any point, sort of. But most of the time he didn't do anything.
I think a large part of Danny Singh was just to make everyone uncomfortable. For example, when the other brother sleeps with... It's not exactly his girlfriend, but the girl that Danny kind of has a thing with. You know, he brings it up with his brother, and his brother thinks, oh, he's going to get mad, he's going to be defensive. And he's like, nah, it's, it's great. We've both been with the same girl. I mean, it gets me really excited to, like, think of her being with you when I'm with her. And it just, like, totally creeps the brother out. It's so gross.
Yeah. It is a thing, like, and I guess, like, you know... Like, actually, if you, like, really want to, like, screw with people, and I've had this, like, in, like, smaller instances maybe happen, like, the people have done to me. I don't even try to screw with me necessarily. But when you don't like someone, like, you sort of do these little things where they can't, like, that on their own in isolation seem...
Innocuous,
but yeah. Built up, and the way you do it just, like, gets them a bit more on edge. And I mean, like, I've definitely had people to me, like, do these, like, little things, say these little things, like, invite you to something in a certain way, like, sort of, like say things sort of, like, you're not sure how sincere they're being, and it's sort of, like, just keeps on getting to you, and it's almost like, they're wanting you to overreact, and then they can go, look, this is the unreasonable person. I've just been a nice person. Like,
look at the transcript.
Yeah, look at the transcript. They snapped, man, because they're mental. Like, you know, I've been telling everyone for years this guy's like, you know, that I've been misunderstood and this guy was being unreasonable to me. Like, yeah. There's the picture of Jared Leto as the Joker.
That's kind of scary. Mm. That's sort of...
Mm.
I mean, The Dark Knight took a bit of a darker turn for the series. That's almost going horror territory. That's pretty gnarly.
Is this the thing with the Joker now? Like, you've got to, like, you know, make it darker than the previous Joker?
Well, so here's the thing recently. I guess some successful series revamps recently... have been kind of successful by going darker. I guess that's more serious. It's more, you know, it's more artistic. So, you know, your Batman do it with the Dark Knight. You had James Bond do it with Casino Royale.
Mm.
It's a little less campy than the original Bonds. You know, the later Superman was a little bit more serious. So I guess people think that you do, you know, the further you go that direction, the better, the more serious it is. You know, the critics are going to like it more. But I think you can go the other way. An example would be, what was it, not the Avengers, the one with Chris Pratt. Guardians of the Galaxy went the other way. It was very, it was kind of light, it was cartoony, it was fast, it was fun.
No, I agree. I just wonder if it's something like... you make a choice, and, like, as soon as the choice has been made to take a franchise dark, you just got to keep on raising the stakes with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whereas Marvel's done a good job of making a conscious decision. No, we're going to keep things light and fun and a bit more campy. Anyway, probably too much superhero talk for our bloodline.
If you made a prop bet for how long we'd talk about Jared Leto before this podcast... You probably just won some serious long money.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so, Danny loved him. So, yeah, I guess as more things get revealed about him and his true plans and his backstory and stuff, that was when the show really took off for me. And those were the best episodes, you know, the last sort of third of the season. So why kill Danny? I guess it's, you know, it's a shocking moment, but where does the show go from here? I actually thought this was a mini-series or like a single series. But they're doing a season two. What are you going to do without Danny?
Maybe they've got another long-lost brother that rocks up and causes some more trouble. Maybe that's what happens. Or, like, you know, someone rocks up and, like, they go, like, to stay at the bed and breakfast, right? And he's there, and they're like, oh, hey. And then at the end of the first episode, he reveals your father fathered another child, and it's me, a long-lost child, with some dark secrets about their father.
Well, now that you mention that, it actually reminded me, that's almost exactly what happened. Danny has a son.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I literally watched this episode last night and I forgot about that.
I forgot about it. So I thought that was, it's like a little bit.
Yeah, obviously what I would say that's just that would be silly.
Like, that sort of proves my point, that Matt was doing that facetiously. So when that pretty much was the storyline, we can't really take it that seriously. It's not like that's a particularly ingenious or clever or original.
Who's playing the son?
Someone that we've just seen a couple of glimpses
of. But no one famous. I think you need someone. No. I think you, with my joke idea, if you were to pull the trigger on it, you want a good actor to come in and do that. Like, you want a
Michael Cera.
Yeah. It can be someone of a Ben Mendelsohn level actor.
Mm.
Not like, obviously as good, but I mean more in terms of like name. So it doesn't need to be someone heaps famous. It doesn't need to be, you know, Bradley Cooper's coming in as the long lost son next season. or you know. But I think you need
That'll be a bit hard to explain. Bradley Cooper. How you look terrible for your age. What are you 18? Well, I mean, very handsome, but you look at least 35.
Yeah.
Hey
man, hey.
Jared Leto! He can play young, he can play anything. He can be a Joker, he can be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know where they're going to go with that. I mean, the kids saw Kyle Chandler go into Danny's old apartment to look, and he found all this money there. And I don't know, it's not really that interesting. I mean, really, what's the family relationship stuff, I don't care. I don't really care if this, you know, jeopardizes the relationship between him and his sister.
But I feel like the writers think we care about that. Like, I think there was way too much family relationship stuff for me not to think the writers think that's what the show's about. Which it is what the show's about too, man.
If they didn't, you certainly have to wonder what they thought the content was for the first five or so episodes.
Which I guess is why Damages was a better show, right? Because, like, you had, like, some interesting relationships at play, but it's very much through the context of these class action cases and people manipulate each other through those things rather than just being about, like, you know, some old lady being a bitch to Rose Byrne. Like,
all of the Rose Byrnes.
Yeah.
I mean, the relationship between Rose Byrne and Glenn Close was much better than the relationship between Rose Byrne and her boyfriend David.
Yeah.
But they had a good balance. The relationship with David was a smaller percentage. Whereas like this, the relationship between Danny and his brother and Danny and the father, you know, the interesting parts of that only got released later on and they spent more time on the boring stuff.
Yeah.
I guess we like Kyle Chandler's character enough to, well, I don't know. Are you rooting for him to avoid getting caught, or do you want him to get caught?
I sort of want to see him get caught. I think that'd be more interesting.
I like him as a character, but then I don't think the murder was justified.
I don't love him as a character, though. Like, it's not like I've connected with him on any particular level. Like, he's likable enough.
He's not like a Coach Taylor. Coach Taylor, you're just like, oh, man, I wish he was my coach.
Yeah.
Or I bet people would be even like, I wish he was my dad. Like, he's just like a great father figure, leader, just good guy, really uplifting, motivating, inspiring. I guess this character he's a good guy, he tries, he does what's best for the family, you know, he can be kind of funny, you sort of like some of his qualities, but there's not that spark, I guess.
Yeah, I don't feel that heavily invested in him. Like, it's not like, you know, if I'm getting the newspaper with, like, oh, what's happening in this case, I'm not like, oh, man, I've got to see if he's okay. Like, you know, like, interesting, like, Gibran is someone like a Walter White, right? Very different character, but someone who I think you were either going, oh, I hope he gets away with this, or I hope he gets caught. Like, you were very heavily invested in the outcome. Like, and I think, like, so you got to that point where maybe he does some things to Jesse that makes you dislike his character and want him to get caught.
Mm.
But you sort of went with Walter White from either wanting him to get away or not wanting him to get away with this situation. So, like, I like the character enough to not, like, want him to suffer or anything. But I think it would be interesting to see this catch up with him, too. Like, I don't want, like... Yeah, I want him to get caught. Because if he doesn't get caught, then it's just, like, a season of there not being a consequence for the bit. Like, it's just, like, moving on to new stories that I'm not invested in or anything. Like,
I think maybe we'll get... Will it maybe go in that direction? A sort of Kyle Chandler going further down the rabbit hole? Will he have to do more bad things in order to cover this up?
Will he be pushing anyone in front of a train next season?
Because I did actually like the episode where he was giving bad information to the cops, and you weren't fully in on the plan either, so you were catching up. And I thought that very clever plot about moving the drugs and sending them to the wrong place, I thought that actually worked really well. So maybe there'll be more clever things about Kyle Chandler trying to outsmart the cops. And, you know, if he does have to go to some extreme places in order to avoid getting caught, maybe that could be quite an interesting season.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what this other brother would have to do to get murdered by him. Because he seems like he's, like, a couple of decisions away from, like, potentially tearing the family apart himself. Like, I think maybe he needs to really just pull a bit of a Tyrion Lannister, Kyle Chandler, and just leave, like, the family. Like, just, like, burn his bridges with his family, go off somewhere else, look for a new family to join.
So we'll see, I guess, yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to give it season two a couple of episodes, because I have the feeling this could either get very good or very boring very quickly.
Yes, I agree.
So, any final words?
No.
There you go. That's a review of season one of Netflix's Bloodline. You can binge watch it all in a day if you like. This is the beauty.
Or don't.
Of Netflix. Yep.
don't watch it.
Oh, don't watch it at all, depending on our, I guess, mediocre recommendation. If you've seen Bloodline, let us know what you thought. Hit us up at facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. And you can also share anything else you've been watching, anything you'd like us to review. We're always open to ideas. I think we could be reviewing another Netflix show in the next couple of weeks. The Unbreakable UBS. Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, Schmidt. UBS, as I started calling it.
Yeah. Too long a name.
Yeah.
I'll just refer to it as Unbreakable.
Yeah, that's from the theme song.
Yes. And perhaps Girls and some other things on the way, so some exciting...
You've got to watch Better Call Saul. You've got to watch Better Call Saul.
Oh, but too many... shows.
And like The Walking Dead. We've both got to watch The Walking Dead. Maybe we should do a podcast where I fill you in on what's happened in The Walking Dead.
I don't know, man. Things just move too quickly in California. Can only watch one or two shows at a time, man.
So anyway, we'll get on top of some things. You know, we should see The Avengers. We should do another Avengers podcast, yeah.
Let us know. Whatever gets the most requests.
If we've named something here that particularly jumps out, you please let us know.
No I Am Legend requests. Anything has to be something we've mentioned, not including just mentioning it then.
Yeah.
And we'll come through for you.
Okay.
All right, guys. Look forward to that.
See ya.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.